What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome to another episode of Down with the Ship. My name is Maddie Mayhem, and with me, as always, is my partner in crime. They call him Sean Tanamera. Wajira Sean Tanamera. Carnage.
There it is. I'll take that. Hey, and a special happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Yes, of course. We are recording this on May 12th, which happens to be Mother's Day. And so we're here at Casa de Carnage celebrating Mother's Day with our mom. We're going to have a barbecue, and we thought we'd record a pod because we haven't talked since before the draft. And Sean, it's time to discuss the drafted players that the Raiders took for 2024. And just an overall perspective, I was really happy with the results of the draft as a whole. Obviously, there were some surprises, but all of the draft picks made sense. And I thought it's nice to have Tom Telesco as a GM because none of the guys were like a what the hell are we doing type of pick. And I think that that is a welcome change after the miseries that the Raiders have had to deal with the last couple of decades with the likes of Mike Mayock and Gruden picking guys that were not anywhere near where they should be picked. And of course, freaking McDaniels and
Dave Ziegler. The Ziegler.
The Ziegster. Also just drafting guys that are just not, it just didn't make any sense. So it was refreshing having an adult in the room for the first time in what felt like a while. What do you think?
I was a little surprised. You know, the whole time I'm sitting there, waiting for the first pick of the draft, and I'm like sure of it. I'm like, no defensive players had been picked. And I'm like, we're going to get the best defensive player they're going to have on their board. You know, in my head, I was like, there's been none. It was kind of like, it was a big quarterback heavy, like early round in the draft, and a lot of offensive tackles, which is, you know, kind of what I was in the market for. And then when we made our first pick, which we'll talk about right now, I mean, I was shocked. You know, my wife starts laughing because she thinks I'm talking like I got it all figured out, you know, like we always try to have it all figured out. And then when they mention Brock Bowers, I'm shocked like a lot of Raider Nation was because we had just drafted Michael Mayer, you know. But then you kind of realize he was the best player available, and then you realize he might have been the best player in the whole draft. So I'm excited we got him, but I was surprised. I have to admit, man, I was definitely shocked, and then I kind of looked into it. Thought back and then looked at who was there, and I think Brock Bowers is going to be one of those players where you're going to be wondering how he fell to us.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just start talking since you already started talking about the first round pick. We'll go through each one of the picks. We'll tell you guys a little bit about each one of the players and our perceptions of them based upon the little bit of research that we've done. I know some of you out there probably do your own research, but some of you out there depend on us for information about these guys and this type of stuff. So hopefully we can help a little bit with that. We did a little bit of the legwork, so we're going to offer our information as much as we have gathered. And so, like Sean said, we'll start with the Raiders' first round pick, which was a surprise to everybody. They took Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia, 6'4", 230 pounds. He was a four-year starter at Georgia, probably the best tight end to come out of college football. They argue maybe ever. And he was definitely somebody that nobody mocked to the Raiders because everybody assumed he'd be long gone by then. Obviously, last year they took Michael Mayer, and you think to yourself, well, that doesn't make any sense. But you start putting the pieces together, and, you know, Luke Getsy ran 12-man personnel more than a lot of the other offensive coordinators last year. And 12-man personnel has a wide receiver on both sides, a tight end on both sides of the line, and a running back in the backfield. And, of course, the offensive line and the quarterback. So they'll have Mayer on one side and Brock Bowers on the other. And everything I keep reading about these two guys, the Mayer and Bowers, is that they're complementary players. They're not redundant. So, like, Mayer is more of the bigger, traditional blocking tight end. He's got good hands, but he doesn't have the speed and elusiveness that Bowers has. Bowers, on the other hand, is more athletic. His blocking is still decent, but he's also really explosive. You can line him up all over the field. You can line him up in the slot. You can put him on the end of the offensive line. You can put him in the backfield and give him the ball. But he is somebody that's got just ridiculous speed for somebody as tall and as big as he is. So I think it's a home run pick because it's what Getsy does. You know, he wants to have two tight ends on the field, so that works with our strength. And so essentially what that does is it helps the quarterback because the quarterback has two security blankets with his tight ends and his running back. And so I think having kind of struck out on getting a first-round draft pick quarterback, I think the Raiders went, okay, well, we'll just take the two guys we have, and we'll make everybody else around them awesome, and hopefully the complementary players will uplift our quarterbacks. And so you take somebody like Minshew, who also thrives in 12-man personnel, by the way. You put him out there with those guys, and I think the Raiders' offense just got way better with the addition of that tight end, of Brock Bowers. Just, it's a home run pick, you know? I mean, if you're not going to get a quarterback, why not take the best player available, which, you know, everybody always screams for the Raiders to take the best player available. But then they get pissed off when they don't take somebody that we need, like a lineman or a cornerback, which obviously the Raiders needed pretty badly. So they finally take the best player available, and everybody's like pissed off about it. So I know.
It did take Raider Nation a little bit for all of it to sink in. You know, I mean, like even Q, you know, had said, you know, from Raider Nation Radio, was like shocked of the pick. But, you know, eventually you kind of see what this guy can do. And I love the idea. Do you remember when we had Darren Waller, and like you knew it was going to be like a pass to him, like he wasn't really going to block or anything? And now, you know, we have a couple of tight ends, and you know what, when Michael Mayer did have the ball in his hands last year, like he did show some like dynamic plays, like he did show he can, you know, he's got good hands and he can kind of get moving a little bit. Maybe he's not as athletic as Bowers, but I love the idea that, you know, we're not showing our hand. You know, when you have a tight end in, they don't know if they're just going to be in there to block, you know, and then we could just pound the rock, you know, down their throats, or we just split one of those guys off and then you have the middle of the field open. You know, I love that.
Yeah, so if the defense puts out like five defensive backs and they want to go ahead and guard our, you know, our two tight ends against the passing game, then you just pound the rock with our offensive line. You block with the tight ends and let Zeus take those yards. Zamir will gladly eat that up. Or if you want to put an extra linebacker in there and take a defensive back off the field, well, then we'll have Brock Bowers go out for a pass and that linebacker is going to have to try to cover him. And there's no linebacker in the NFL that's going to be able to stay with Brock Bowers. So,
or you won't even know who the pass will go to. You might think it might go to Bowers and maybe it goes to Mayer and it goes the other way. And then that linebacker's left with his pants down.
Yeah. So great pick. I mean, I loved it. I don't want to give any of these drafts a grade because that's kind of stupid. I'll just say that I like all the picks that we got. So we'll just talk about each one of them and what they could offer, who they are, and what kind of a player they are going to be for the Raiders. So again, I like this pick. I thought it was a good pick. I was really happy with the first round of the draft, and it's been a while since I could say that.
I tell you what, man. I feel like the pressure is on Luke Getsy now at this point. You know, you didn't get your all-star quarterback, you know, or you didn't, you know, you didn't get any free agent quarterback. You didn't draft one, you know, that you liked. You know, obviously all those guys were gone. Denver Broncos selecting, was it Bo Nix right before, you know, we picked or whatever. So my eyes are on Getsy, you know, and with this Brock Bowers and the stuff that this kid can do, it's going to be up to Getsy to be able to get him in those positions and actually come up with creative enough plays and utilize this kid and actually use his skills that, you know, and try to catch the defense slipping. And the one thing I did like is recently on the Max Crosby podcast, Devontae was on there and he was giving his support to Getsy again, you know, because Getsy worked with Devontae over there in Green Bay. And that's the one thing I could try to hold my hat on is if Devontae believes in him, then I got to, because, you know, obviously you saw what he did with the Bears and all the different offensive coordinators that we had talked about before we ended up getting Getsy. It was kind of like he was the consolation prize as well. And so I'm curious to see. I feel like the pressure's on Getsy now and with the quarterback and, you know, particularly with this first round pick.
Yep. All right. Well, let's transition to the second round where the Raiders drafted Jackson Powers Johnson, a center, but he's probably going to play the guard position for the Raiders out of Oregon. He weighs in at 334 pounds, 6'3". I think that this might be my favorite pick in the entire draft. Obviously, the Raiders needed help on the offensive line, and to get somebody of Powers Johnson's like acumen at that, I mean, a lot of people had this dude pegged as a possible first rounder. For the Raiders to get just a big, nasty, like aggressive guard, it kind of reminds me of Richie Incognito, plays with attitude, and he's going to start right away. So again, we potentially got a starter in our first and second draft picks, and that's brilliant because Brock Bowers is going to start this year and Jackson Powers Johnson is going to start because the Raiders have Cody Whitehair, who I was lukewarm on at best, and nobody else at that position that is at the level of Jackson Powers Johnson. I mean, the guy at the Senior Bowl, he was a man amongst boys. He was just throwing dudes, just mauling him. He's great at pass protection. He just bulldozes and bullies people in the run game. He's exactly what the Raiders needed at that position. I mean, we needed help on the offensive line. We get the offensive lineman that can come in right away and provide that help on the right side or the left side, and we still were able to get Brock Bowers in the first round. I'm very pleased with that. What do you think?
I'm super excited about this guy. They say that he's the kind of guy that just loves football. I believe that, you know, they were talking about him saying that you're not going to get a lot of him in interviews and stuff, but this guy just loves family and football. To me, like, that's where I want this player's focus, particularly over here in Vegas, you know, with all the distractions that you can get into. And being a center, it's kind of like you got to know all the plays as a center when you're playing the sport. And even though he's not going to play center, it shows you that he's got the intelligence to be able to play that position and then able to move around. And I don't know if you saw in 2021, the Alamo Bowl, he also played the defensive line. So, I mean, it shows the kid knows the game. You know, he's been asked to do a couple different things that were kind of out of his norm, and he succeeded. And with that intelligence and that size on our offensive line, I'm like, that's a plug and play for sure. Definitely excited about him.
Yep.
Okay, and then in round three, the Raiders drafted tackle DJ Glaze out of Maryland, 6'4", 323 pounds. Now, I know a lot of people, this is their least favorite pick. You know, when you get drafted in the top 100, you want a guy that's going to be a definite contributor, maybe not necessarily at the beginning, but somebody that will make the team and will definitely eventually make their way into the starting lineup. And the thing I like about DJ Glaze is that he is a bit underrated. He's a big dude, but he is able to play all over the line. And as we know, utility, I mean, it's what McDaniels and Ziegler wanted on the line. They wanted a guy that you can move all over the line, because if one guy goes out, you have another guy that can step up and play at a different position, whether that be guard or tackle or center. And I know DJ Glaze can play guard or tackle. As a matter of fact, they say he'd be a pretty damn good guard if he played guard. As a tackle, he can get a little bit overpowered by quicker speed rushers, but he has played on the left and the right side. And when you got a guy that can go in there and just play left and right, no big deal, or slide into guard, no big deal, that really helps the depth on your line, because, you know, obviously he can come in and take the role of that swing tackle position, which is a very, very important position, especially if you want to throw in an extra tackle in like a jumbo package, have two tackles on the right and a tight end, and just bulldoze guys in front of you and right power run on the right side. That's definitely something that DJ Glaze can help us with. So I like this pick too. I know not a lot of people dig it because he's, you know, a little bit raw, but I think that the Raiders needed offensive line help, and they got another offensive lineman. So how can you be mad at that?
Exactly. For your O-line, giving those starters a break. You know, if he's kind of like a guy that just comes in and a rotational player, but he can play different positions, I think that, you know, you're getting what you need, you know, with that player. They say that, I mean, he's really good at pass blocking, I think, is like his big thing, you know. And so maybe that's the rotation you get him in there when you know you're about to pass. You know, you kind of get this guy in there, big body, you know, to lay a helmet on somebody and make it a little bit easier for Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. But I mean, either way, me and Matt talked about, like, the O-line was one of our big concerns coming in here. And that was what made the Bowers pick so weird, because you kind of wanted that offensive line player. And then here with pick 2 and 3, all of a sudden you saw the Raiders addressing it. And so then I started to kind of settle down, like, dang, we got ourselves a steal in the first, and we're filling the holes that we needed to. So good job, Raiders.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that that's what makes me so excited about this draft, because, like, the Brock Bowers pick shows us that Telesco is going to take the best player. It doesn't matter where they are. And then for us to then in round 2 and 3 get offensive line, and then round 4 get a cornerback, that's what we needed. And they were the best players according to Telesco. So, I mean, we can rest assured he drafted the best person at that position. So he's obviously got high plans for Glaze. And this next guy, round 4, the Raiders drafted DeCamrion Richardson, cornerback out of Mississippi State. 6'2", 195 pounds. Actually, I heard he's at more of closer to 205 now. This dude, okay, I watched a lot of film on this guy. So he is essentially not going to be a slot cornerback at all. Like, he can't, if you put him on the Z receiver, the guy that plays the slot, that's going to be your quicker guy. Think, for example, Cooper Kupp plays the slot, you know? You put him on that guy's going to, like, juke him out of their shoes, and he's just going to get crossed up, and just guys are going to get open. You put him there. He is the kind of cornerback that you put him on the outside, and you have him cover the X receiver, and you tell him, okay, don't beat anybody deep, and if it's zone, I want you to explode on it. And those are the two things that he does well. This guy ran a 4.3 40, super fast. When he does get beat on the line, his speed, in order to make up for getting beat, he's almost always in the right position, and he's able to make a play on the ball. And then for the short area, he's got this ridiculous quickness. I think he was in, like, the 92nd percentile in, like, I think they call it the 10-yard cone or something like that. But, like, essentially his closing burst is top-notch, like one of the best in the entire draft for cornerbacks. So if he's, like, 5 yards away from a guy and the guy, like, stops and does a comeback, Richardson's able to, like, really quickly close that area and just knock the ball away. His speed is going to be what his best asset is. He's got tiny hands, and he didn't have an interception at all in his entire college career.
He's kind of smaller too, isn't he?
No, he's 6.
Like,
he's
skinnier though, like, lanky, right?
He is, but he's also he's not afraid to hit. Like, he, you know, he likes to jam guys on the line. So he plays bigger than he is. You know, he was one of Chris Sims' top 5 cornerbacks coming out of the draft. He was number 5, and Chris Sims basically said, like, he reminds him of Richard Sherman. which is pretty great. Yeah, he also said he reminds him of Sauce Gardner. So, like, you know, you take two guys like that, I don't know. I think that this could be a really underrated draft pick. Like you said, he's raw, but, like, I might go out on a limb and say that he could start this year because, again, the guy that's above him right now on that side, because obviously Jack Jones is going to be one cornerback, right? Yeah. The other side is going to probably be Ja'Quarian Bennett.
Because we got Nate Hobbs in the slot, right?
We got Nate Hobbs in the slot. So right now it's probably Ja'Quarian Bennett, but I think DeCamrion Richardson, he definitely has Bennett's, like, speed, but he plays more intelligently, I will say. You know, Bennett got beat a lot for some reason. And so I like this pick. I think, again, it was a need, and this dude, it could be, like, underrated and quite the snag. What do you think?
I am one of the underraters, you know. I'm not super – I mean, I'm glad because the position was definitely something I wanted to address. And you know, just having somebody in there, you know, behind Ja'Quarian Bennett trying to make him earn his job, I'm good with that. You know, the one thing is I don't know. I see this kid and I look at some of his tape and then I started looking back into, like, what free agents might be available still, that, and maybe the Raiders aren't done. Like, I don't think they're going to be satisfied with just rolling into this season with Ja'Quarian Bennett and Richardson, you know? And so I'm not to get distracted on what we're talking about, but I'm a little curious to see if the Raiders will still make some moves maybe in the cornerback market at this point, you know? But maybe he proves me wrong. And you know what? Matt's a football coach and he's been watching tape. So, I mean, hey, it's an extra body in camp to create a competition. And I mean, let's see what happens. But I mean, definitely I'm not super excited about it. I don't think he's a plug and play lock starter, which it's hard to even say anybody coming out of college is. But, you know, they drafted him. We'll see what the guy can do.
Yep. All right. And then in round five, the Raiders drafted out of Ohio State linebacker Tommy Eichenberg, 6'2", 239 pounds. And I like this pick. I mean, I like all the picks, actually, but let me tell you guys about Tommy Eichenberg. Tommy Eichenberg is basically going to be Robert Spillane's backup because he is Robert Spillane 2.0, right? Eichenberg and Spillane are your two down linebackers, which means that you're going to put them on the field. Ain't nobody going to run on them. They are run-stopping linebackers. Eichenberg was like a four-year starter at Ohio State. He basically was a captain of the team. He understands the game. He knows what teams want to do on the run. He knows offensive linemen blocking assignments. He's able to shed those blocks and stop the run very efficiently, but do not put him in coverage at all because he will get destroyed because that is not his bread and butter. And Spillane's kind of the same way. Now, I know Spillane had a pretty good year last year.
Oh, yeah. One of his best, I think.
But I don't know if Eichenberg is going to be able to come in and cover guys. It's just not his game. He's too slow. His sideline-to-sideline speed is definitely nothing to write home about. So I would say that Eichenberg is, like I said, he is insurance for Spillane if Spillane goes down, which it might happen because those guys play with their hair on fire. They hit people hard. But when it comes to, like, third and long or anything like that, you are not going to have Eichenberg on the field. That's for sure. He is not covering Travis Kelce. He is a middle linebacker whose job it is going to be to maybe defend against the hook and curl, but hopefully he doesn't have to stay in coverage with anybody because he is not staying in coverage with anybody.
Hey, that's too bad, too, because, I mean, how many years has this been? You know, like, the middle of our field is always open, and it always seems like they make the catch, but then our guy tackles him right after he makes. He's there, but he's not there in time to stop, you know, the actual pass from being completed. I mean, if you got Spillane to be learning from, he's just a man's man, you know? If, you know, he listens to what he's told and Spillane takes him under his wing, you know, maybe he'll surprise us and, you know, kind of improve his game and get better and maybe eventually fill that hole, because who knows how long Spillane has left.
Of course, you have to remember, who's our head coach?
Antonio motherfucking Pierce.
That's right. And what was he coaching last year before he became the head coach?
Hey, when he called this kid, he's a linebacker to linebacker, you know? He was a linebacker. You know, he's going to know what to do with them, right?
Exactly. And so that's why I like this pick. I like this pick because I think that, you know, maybe AP saw a little something in Eichenberg that made him go, okay, I can use a guy like that. I can definitely use a guy like that. All right. And then in round six, out of New Hampshire, 5'10", 208 pounds, Dylan Lobby, a little scat back. He's kind of your do-it-all, jack-of-all-trades running back. He is, I don't know, I mean, I heard that he can be an every-down back, but he's more of those, like, kind of like a little guy who's gonna, he's got amazing hands out of the backfield. I heard that you can send him on a wheel route and he'll catch everything, but I think he's also really good at punt returns and kickoff returns.
That's a great way to make the team.
Exactly. And so I think that that's going to be kind of what Lobby does for us. He's going to be like a little scat back, kind of like a Rashard was back in the day, or back in the day when I think the Chargers had Sproles, or I mean Eckler too. That's what reminds me of Eckler.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Is I think there was comparison to Austin Eckler, you know, who the Chargers just let walk. But we need some people in that running back room. You know, we only have Zeus and what's his name?
Mattinson.
Oh yeah, Mattinson. I forgot we got Mattinson. That's right, Alexander Mattinson. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think Lob's probably his best bet to make this team is maybe on those special teams.
It's pronounced Lobby.
Oh, Lobby.
Yep.
Yeah, Lobby.
Or Lobby.
Loba Loba.
I know it's a B.
Mr. Loba Loba.
All right. And then in round seven, the Raiders got safety Trey Taylor, who came out of Air Force with pick number 223. Trey Taylor, obviously the winner of the Jim Thorpe Award that they give to the best defensive back in college football. Air Force had a pretty good defense, and Trey Taylor won the Jim Thorpe Award up against a couple of other guys that got drafted much higher than he did, and he's the one who won it. So guys got some skills, obviously. I really like this pick. This might low-key be my favorite pick. There are some people that think that he might start over Epps this year because he's that good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it could be a good pick. And to get a guy like that in the seventh round, you gotta be like pretty impressed, like that a guy like that was even available. But yeah, so again, behind Jackson Powers Johnson, this one might be sneaky, underrated, awesome pick, in my opinion.
You said he came from the Air Force, right? I mean, that also shows discipline. Again, like I said earlier, you know, coming up in Vegas, you know, there's a lot of distractions and stuff that you know, the late night drinking and the clubs and stuff. And, you know, you get a kid with that kind of discipline coming from the Air Force, you know, he's all about respect. And, you know, he's going to be one of those just like guys that are ready to go to work. And those are the kind of players that I'd like to draft.
Yep. And then finally, with the last pick in the seventh round, the Raiders drafted cornerback MJ Devonshire, 5'11", 179 pounds out of Pittsburgh. Not the biggest guy, but I'll tell you what MJ Devonshire he's fast, just like DeCamrion Richardson. He ran a 4.3 or 4.4, but MJ Devonshire also was just a ball hawk. That guy, he had 8 interceptions in his college career, which is really good. 32 pass defense. People threw at him. He either picked the ball or knocked it away, and that's what you want. And then if you're getting a guy like that in the seventh round, I mean, you can definitely tell that, and I've heard that Telesco has a type for cornerbacks. He likes them fast, and he likes them between like 6 feet and 6'2". So like not too short, not too tall, right there in that sweet spot, but very, very fast.
Yeah, you know, I think being a ball hawk is kind of like having just that instinct, you know, and I don't know, is it coachable? Maybe it's not coachable. Maybe it's just an instinct that you have and a knack for being around the ball. And, you know, the thing I know about those kind of players is, you know, they're the ones that end up coming up with the ball, the interceptions, you know, or they'll strip it and recover the fumble or whatever. And that's what you want in this league, you know, turnovers win games. And everything else is coachable, you know what I mean? The technique and everything, you can kind of like dial this kid in. But just having that knack to be around the ball is going to really help him in this league and maybe help him make the team.
Yeah, most definitely. So with those draft picks, you can start to see an identity forming for the Antonio Pierce regime and what this Raider team is going to be this upcoming year. On offense, they're going to run a lot of 12-man personnel. They're going to play action pass. They're going to run the ball, short area passes to tight ends, right? And then every so often take a shot to, you know, Myers or Devontae with that play action. And hopefully, I think it's all going to depend more on whether or not our running backs are successful than it is our quarterback for offense. And then for defense, they built a strong line, and they built that line with a bunch of quick area guys. So they're assuming, and they're putting a lot of money into this line, making quarterbacks throw the ball away quickly and then stopping the run, because they know that there's no way I'm going to be able to take 10-step drop and like look all over the field and like let a long one go deep because I got Max Crosby barreling down on me or Christian Wilkins barreling down on me. Or you want to double team those two guys, Malcolm Kuntz is probably going to be even better. I feel like he had his breakout year last year. So they're going to have to either run the ball, which the Raiders will stop because you put Spillane or Eichenberg out there, Divine Diablo. They'll stop the run. Our cornerbacks can definitely tackle. Hobbs can tackle. Jack Jones plays aggressive. And DeCamrion Richardson, he can tackle. You know, and if they want to pass it against the Raiders, they're going to have to pass it quick. They're not going to be able to go deep. They won't have the time. So they'll have to do quick passes, and we have guys that are really good in short area bursts. So if these little receivers want to do like a little cut or a comeback or whatever, our DBs can just like stop on a dime and use their quickness to hit the ball away or maybe take it to the house. So we're going to be a stingy defense, potentially top 10, and we're going to run the ball. I mean, to me, that seems like a formula for winning. You know, that sounds like Jim Harbaugh football, actually.
Yeah, and we're definitely a lot further along than the Chargers are, at least the holes that need to be filled on the roster. I think it all comes down to Getsy, to be honest. You know, like I'd really been thinking about it, and, you know, I was looking at all the players you just mentioned that we got starting on offense in particular. And then, you know, everybody's bummed on the quarterback. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, but you got, you know, Aiden O'Connell. Who's going to throw on the ball? Or you got Gardner Minshew, you know? And it's like, that doesn't sound flashy, but if Getsy is creative, like I think that we all were hoping Josh McDaniels was going to be, then I think that it could work. You know, you don't have to have that stellar quarterback. I know it only happens like maybe like once every decade or a couple times a decade where, you know, you don't have that franchise quarterback, but you still win a Super Bowl. It's still possible. You know, and the one thing that scares me is us not getting a quarterback this year. Like, I feel like our team is far enough ahead to where, you know, at worst, let's just say, like, maybe we're, like, in the middle of the draft again next year. You know, and if there's a quarterback that we'd like, that we won't be able to get him again. And so you're kind of looking at maybe we're going to be going with Gardner Minshew, AOC, again next year. You know, like, I don't think the quarterback thing ends. Like, we might be rolling with those guys. I think a lot is just riding on Getsy. You know, otherwise we're going to have to get real comfortable with Minshew and or Aiden O'Connell. And Aiden being the younger guy, I'm still pulling for him. You know, I'm pulling for him. Hopefully that O-line kind of gives him a little bit of more time in that pocket. And like you said, man, if we just run the ball first and Aiden only got to throw what? Like, what's a good amount of throws you'd like to give, you know, if Aiden was starting? Like 15 maybe or something like that?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
You know, and that's all he's got to do? Then I think he could be reliable for that many. You know, but if you start having him have to pass, you know, and our run game doesn't work, then I think the whole ship could go sinking.
Yeah. I think, though, that, like, and I know you're pulling for O'Connell, and he's probably gonna start as the first, you know, the number one. I know that. And, you know, a little homage to Rich Gannon, who's my favorite quarterback. Uh-huh. But, like, I mean, they gave Gardner Minshew, like, almost starting quarterback money. You're not going to give him that much money and then have him sit on the bench.
But
so.
I did see it wasn't starting quarterback money, though. You know, it was, like, almost quarterback money. It was, like, second tier, like quarterback money, you know, to where you're not obligated to have him be the starter. You know, I think that creates competition. It lets him know that he's got to earn his job. And you know what? I'm cool with that, dude. Whoever's better in camp that earns it, they deserve to be the one that has a starting job.
Yeah. Yeah.
So competition, man. I mean, keep building it. I mean, that's what you got to do.
You never know what's going to happen. Like, a rookie could come in and do really well, and, you know, maybe a veteran gets released and the Raiders go, oh, we'll pick you up.
Yeah.
You know, you might be good.
Hey,
we did just
scoop up Michael Gallup, you know, just after the draft, you know, who, of course, was over there in Dallas. And I mean, I had him on fantasy, like, when he kind of needed a receiver a couple years. And the guy's usually good for about, like, if we can get like 500 yards out of him this year, I think we got something. So I'm kind of excited about that pickup. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it was a great pickup. I mean, he is probably the best number three wide receiver in the league. I mean, yeah, he had an off year last year. But before that, before CeeDee Lamb went to Dallas, it was basically,
Amari Cooper.
Was he their number one? It was Dez Bryant and then Amari Cooper. Yeah, it was Amari Cooper and then Michael Gallup was number two. And he was a killer number two. I mean, he did a lot over there. So he doesn't have to be the number two with us. He can come in and be the number three with Trey Turner as the number four, you know, and you put...
Trey Tucker,
yeah. Well, we do have a Trey Turner now. We have too many Treys. Trey Tucker, yeah. Whatever quarterback we have, they're going to be stoked seeing all the weapons that they have around
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely, man.
So it's definitely an exciting time, Raider Nation. And, you know, there's a lot to look forward to as training camp comes. It was cool watching rookie minicamp and seeing some of those guys out there. Brock Bowers looked explosive, as always. But, yeah, I mean, we've got the schedule that's going to be released next week on Wednesday. So we'll probably have to do another podcast about that, going through the schedule.
True. And the Raiders also, they're practicing here in Southern California, aren't they? Costa Mesa.
Nobody gets to go.
Well, I mean, I guess season ticket holders can and whatever. But hey, one thing that I was thinking is, man, I'm gonna go hang out in the grocery stores over there. Maybe I'm gonna see a player. You know, go say what's up, dude. They're gonna be in town.
They're gonna be like, why is this guy hanging out in the grocery store? He's just wearing his Raiders jersey in a grocery store,
just hanging out.
Like, he's not even shopping. He's just standing in the front like some Girl Scout
by the
selling
oranges,
cookies
in the produce department. Like,
are you a Raider? Are you a Raider?
Looking for the biggest guy. Like, hey, excuse me, sir.
Do you play for the Raiders?
Hey, you know what though? When the Chargers were over there, I was doing a job over at like the Orange County Museum of Arts, and it's pretty much like the parking structure is right in front of where they walk in at, and I just seen all those Chargers flags every time, and every time I left work, I was like, I'm gonna grab one of those and throw it in the street, but it's kind of cool, like it's gonna be represented by Raiders, you know, and it was a big old thing where they're like, oh, you can't really promote that much because it's supposed to be like Chargers and Rams territory, and it's like, you know what? The only reason they're saying that and crying about it is because they already know this is Raider Nation, and particularly Southern California, LA area, Orange County area. This is Raiders all day, dude. Dude, those guys are just guests here.
I don't know, man. The Chargers are... Everybody's talking about the Chargers in Harbaugh.
Yeah. Man, I hope powder blue.
I hope Harbaugh doesn't win a single game, dude. I would love that. That would be the best.
Just like it's pissed and quits.
Yeah, just quits, and the Chargers are like, damn, we just ruined Herbert.
Herbert.
His whole career is just ruined. Just like Rivers. Philip Rivers never won a championship, dude.
Well, yeah, that's right, dude. It starts by us whooping their ass some more. Just like we've been doing the Broncos.
Hell yeah. All right, Raider Nation. Well, that'll do it for us on this episode. We'll be back a couple weeks to talk about the schedule release and anything else that might come up. I mean, we're getting closer and closer to that special time. So stay with us, Raider Nation, and we'll be there to report on and discuss all of the things that are Raider Nation.
This has been
Maddie Mayhem with Sean Carnage, and we'll see you guys next time.
Peace out.
Peace out.